going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wild times. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Here for the San Francisco 49ers. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Important offseason, no doubt, for the 49ers. Major questions in the air, including contract extensions for Brock Purdy, for George Kittle, and for Fred Warner. Brock Purdy did show up yesterday to the voluntary practice, Perloff, and I think you were not surprised by this. Quarterbacks holding out, it's so rare, and it'd be such a huge distraction. I don't think a lot of QBs do it.
Also, and I keep saying, what leverage does Brock Purdy really have here?
Well, I think both sides kind of have this weird, bizarro leverage.
I think the Niners have all the leverage. I mean, where's Brock Purdy going to go?
Well, here, you're right in the fact that the 49ers have leverage on Brock because he's literally under contract.
Yeah, okay. And then they can tag him 2 years. So they have 3 years of control of Brock Purdy.
Right. So I think that Brock Purdy has leverage because he sees other guys are being paid around him. So he has this sort of ceiling floor. It's already been set. Okay. Right. So that, you know, it's not like he's coming to the negotiation table asking for something outlandish. You know, he is a better quarterback than Tua. You might take him over Trevor Lawrence.
You say that like everybody thinks that. Like, he's a better quarterback than a healthy Tua Tagovailoa?
I think more teams would want Brock Purdy than they would Tua.
Because Tua's hurt, but
okay, well,
I think it all plays in. I think Tua's pretty good, but anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can disagree on that.
Literally the worst contract in 15 years, too, by the way. Okay. But the thing is, like, Brock Purdy, even you say that, like, what difference does that make to the Niners? Like, where is Brock going to go? He has to go to practice. He's just going to sit around all season?
No, but I think that, first of all, the 49ers have put it out there that they want to get something done with him. So you are setting him up and your fan base up and everybody up that something's going to get done. It's going to look pretty bad if you don't. I think there is an optics part of this. If you want to play hardball from the beginning, you play hardball from the beginning. You don't tell everybody and signal, we love him. You don't have the owner come out and start talking about how Brock would have been like the 40th highest paid college quarterback. You know, you don't highlight how underpaid this guy is if you are not planning to get something done.
You know? Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But at the end of the day, that's just window dressing for the fans. And the reality, when you're sitting in that building and Brock says, I want $58 million, why do you have to say yes? You know he's coming one way or the other. You could say, we're giving you $20 million, and eventually, even if he doesn't take it, he's showing up. They can't sit out. It's not even an option for him. So they have all the leverage to make.
So Sam Darnold was not a viable threat. I don't think Mac Jones is a threat, the backup quarterbacks I'm talking about to Brock Purdy. So I think he's sitting in a pretty good spot. Anyway, he did show up yesterday. But as far as George Kittle, that was a no. If you want to get a little glimpse into what the 49ers are kind of thinking about this offseason, Pearl, again, an important one. I think last year, they decided, we got to try to go all in. We just lost in overtime of the Super Bowl. Let's see what we can do. And the season fell apart because of injuries and other reasons. And they inadvertently had their reset last year. I thought we were prepping for another all-in kind of season here for the 49ers. Okay? Here's Mike Silver, I'm going to just read the quotes for you on this one. He did this big story with Devontae Adams. Adams had interest from the 49ers, which would have been very interesting. He ends up signing with their rival Rams. The 49ers would not meet the market value. The quote is, he felt that the 49ers were trying to pay wholesale rather than retail. Adams signed a two-year $46 million contract with the Rams. Now, you could look at it, Adams' age. You could say maybe that was very smart. But the wholesale over retail gives you a little glimpse, I think, into the 49ers overall. They've got a lot of draft picks in this draft, four in the top 100, were not major players in free agency, saw a lot of older guys walk out the door. I do think this is, you know, maybe the owner, Jed York, saying, listen, I've been spending a ton of money.
Yep.
And we've been contenders, but I don't know if I'm ready to just throw all caution to the wind here to try to go in an all-in season.
Yeah, definitely. It does seem like the message from the combine. I remember John Lynch said, yeah, we're going to have to cut spending. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, look at the losses this year. They basically lost everyone. Tre'Davious Ward, Hufanga, Deebo Samuel, both good running backs that sit behind McCaffrey. So yeah, it does seem like they're taking a step back. I kind of get the Davante Adams thing though, because the Packers are a very smart franchise and they let him walk 3 years ago. And the Chiefs let Tyreek Hill walk. So smart teams do not pay old wide receivers. Now the Rams are pretty smart too. So that you definitely in a vacuum, you can't kill them for that move. But I think what you're saying is they're cheaping out overall. That's what I'm hearing.
Cheap might be a little strong.
Cheaping out, but they're not going all in.
I don't think so. Now, listen, as long as Brandon Ayuk comes back and is healthy, I mean, you could argue that they actually are pretty set at the wide receiver position.
Yeah.
You know, using first-round pick for Ricky Pearsall, they've got Brandon Ayuk, who they paid. Obviously, they love Juwan Jennings. They extended him as a third guy. Here is John Lynch, though, said, heard the quotes from Davante Adams, said he thought they were trying to play wholesale rather than retail, but didn't mean any offense.
I saw the quote, and it said his agent had told him that. That wasn't me. I've always had a great deal of respect for Davante. That didn't line up. He's on a division rival. We're going to have our work cut out covering him and playing against him. He's a really good player. So if there was any disrespect taken, none was intended.
Okay, so that's what's going on with Davante Adams. Again, just a little bit of a window, it seems like, into the 49ers. Yeah. It's no longer going to just be the freewheeling spending. And I'm curious not how that impacts Purdy, although that's going to be the headliner, but also about Kittle. You've seen that they've decided to get, or they're trying to get, I think, a lot younger, Pearl, in some areas.
Yeah, I mean, they can't get older.
Well, that's true. Here is John Lynch. Can I hear cut 9, please, Manny, about George Kittle and non-committal.
We'll see on that. You know, these things are voluntary right now. But, again, with that, we've had good communication, good talks, and we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if Kittle is not extended here. I think you've seen where the 49ers want to go. And beyond that, there was a quote, some very telling quotes from Kyle Shanahan not too long ago. It was an article that came out about the sort of mistake, I guess, that they made. I think some could see as a mistake where they kind of maybe overpaid for Brandon Ayuk. I'm not sure about that.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, the way
the guy got hurt, so it's a little unfair to say that. But now, obviously, they overpaid. He tore his ACL.
Of course. Yeah. So there's like a scene that almost feels like it's out of a movie where Kyle Shanahan all of a sudden gets very worried that Ayuk, that they're going to trade Ayuk, you know, and he's getting traded to Washington or whatever. And he tears through the building, running at full speed, taking stairs two at a time up to John Lynch's office, busts through the door and says, I got to have Brandon Ayuk. And they end up doing the deal with him. And they said that was like an emotional response that they were having.
Yeah,
and they're
really
trying to take the emotion sort of out of these negotiations. And that's not great for Kittle, because Kittle is awesome, but obviously he's like it's like a legacy. It'd be like a legacy signing as opposed to, can we not win without Kittle? I don't know.
Yeah, it's also one of the great tight end drafts of all time is what everyone's saying. So they could get somebody at some point to fill in. So Kittle is 31, turns 32 October 9th. It's pretty old for a tight end. At that point, you're sort of a complimentary piece like Rob Gronkowski. Like, late Gronk was effective, but he couldn't play every down.
Yeah, big
like
in the playoffs, though.
Yeah, big in the play, right, exactly. And I think that's what they would want for Kittle, to be sort of a, between a part-time and a full-time player, as a secret weapon. Now, here's where I'll tell you one thing the Niners fans could be excited about.
What's that?
I'll paint a picture. So they, presumably, I don't know what Kyle Shanahan's contract, he's got to be one of the top three highest paid coaches in the league, considered by many around the league as the best offensive mind. They just made Robert Saleh the highest paid defensive coordinator. So everyone keeps talking about all these offensive players. Their defense has fallen off over the last 2 years, unlike their offense. Their offense is still top five. So maybe Saleh gets in there, coaches them up, and they return to the Niners from 2019, 2021, 2022. So maybe the coaching staff, the owners are like, you know what? I'm paying you, Kyle Shanahan, more than anybody. I'm paying you, Robert Saleh. Why am I paying all these players? What's the point? Maybe they refine that magic that they had, because they haven't been scary on defense in 3 years.
I'll give you that, but I feel like that's all well and good, and that's a fair way to think. But the NFC has gotten really deep here in a short amount of time. We talk about the AFC. It's like Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, and look at all these quarterbacks. It's murderer's row. Look at what's gone on with the NFC lately. You want to play in the NFC North? Good luck. You want to face the Philadelphia Eagles? Have fun with that. You got a plan for the tush-push? I don't. And the Rams are always hanging around. Like, if I'm the 49ers, you know.
Tommy DeVito and the Giants, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about them. Tommy yeah. Cutlets could never rule him out. Cinderella story. You know, quietly, the NFC that we always thought was like the lesser of the conferences because they don't have the flashy quarterbacks like the AFC does, the NFC is brutal. And so a gauntlet, really. And so if you're the 49ers, can you afford to say, well, we're just going to have our coaches, you know, do this thing on the margins? I don't know if you can afford to take that kind of stance.
Well, I mean, if I'm the owner, because of the salary cap, I kind of, that's what I would tell myself, that, hey, the reason we fell off on defense is Bisala left for the Jets. And that, and Ryan's left for the Texans. And that's the best I got, because you do have this reality. The salary cap is getting them. I mean, they could not keep this team together. You look at, I'm sure they don't necessarily want Deebo Samuel and Hufanga and Tavares Ward. They probably would prefer those guys stay, but it's a real, I know we argue about this. The salary cap is real, so they have, in the sense, they have no choice, but I get it. They've been spending like crazy and not getting the results. So if I'm an owner, I probably would say the same thing.
EJ, you want to say something?
I feel like this is in some ways a blessing in disguise. The salary cap held they're in. Because I think the reason why the Niners got so good was because they drafted so well. They seem to be getting guys 1 through 7, literally in the first round, in terms of first round to seventh round picks,
yeah,
that came in and played well. And what happens is those guys eventually have to get paid, and you get fat on those players. And some of those guys maybe you keep a little longer than you have to. I think the fact that they can now like hone in is okay. Yes, we lost some good players, but now we can maybe draft some guys on cheap contracts that can go out there and outperform over their skis, because we got Kyle Shanahan as an OC and we got Robert Saleh back as a DC. I don't feel very optimistic about them this season, but I think they got to shift their perspective. They're not a Super Bowl contender, but could they turn this thing around in 2 or 3 years? I definitely think that's possible.
But two or three years, then where's Warner? Where's Bosa? Are these guys still in the prime?
Well, Warner, I mean, there's a reality that they might have to also move on. Maybe not Bosa, but Warner, they may have to move on from a guy like that. But again, like, this is a team that knows how to scout guys that can fit into their system. I think that of all the teams in the NFL, they've proven that. Because they've got guys who nobody's ever heard of, like Hufanga and, you know, Deebo Samuel. Like, they got guys who came in, and we didn't think of anything about them until they got to the Niners and they were stars.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why they can't do that again. Right, Brock Purdy, right, the Mr. Irrelevant. Ultimate. So, they can get guys. It's just a matter, it may take some time to develop them. But I think that, yeah, be in salary cap hell, let these contracts expire, get rid of them. But in a couple of years, the Niners could be back.
Yeah, but they're cold in the draft last few years. And do you want to know why? They gave all their first round picks up for Trey Lance.
Yeah.
They're still feeling that in a major way. It's kind of hard to be hot in the draft when you give up, and they gave up a lot for McCaffrey. So they kind of went a little all in on Trey Lance, and they're feeling that. Because, yeah, all those guys you mentioned, EJ's right. Like, 5 years ago, they were hit. Who's the last 2 or 3 years? It's been, Pearsall's a miss so far.
Well, we'll see. I mean, that unfortunate incident with him that thankfully he
lived through. He seemed good, but then kind of fell off towards the end of the
year. They drafted Jake Moody in the 3rd round 2 years ago.
Yeah, terrible.
I mean, you don't draft a kicker. What are you? Every fantasy football player knows you don't get in on a kicker early. No, they're definitely a little cold drafting. But I get
exclamation point.
You got, if you're the owner, you got to rely on these coaches and say, Kyle Shanahan, work your magic. Maybe get a little hungrier. I like EJ's narrative. Yeah, like we're gonna. I think they're probably better as an underdog than a favorite. Let's prove them wrong.
4 picks for them in the top 100. So they pick 11, and according to Diana Rossini, they're sticking and drafting there, according to all the intel. Pick 43, they have 75, and they have pick 100.
I was
so
wondering,
2 third-rounders and yeah, 1 and 2.
I was wondering if they're one of the teams that called up to the Giants. Because, man, would they love an Abdul Carter going across from Nick Bosa. But that's a lot to go from 11 to 3 when you don't have...
I don't think you have the capital to get that done.
Yeah, they have probably nightmares from going from 12 to 3 for Trey Lance.
They should. 888-710-4ISN. JT is in Atlanta, wants to weigh in on the draft. Good morning, JT.
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. I'm just listening, and I'm earlier hearing Perloff talk about how he wants the Cowboys to do good and the Giants to do good. And I'm like, aren't you an Eagles fan? Like, what is this? What are we doing here? What are we doing here? Why are we rooting for these guys to be have successful drafts that we have to deal with later in the season? I'm an Eagles fan too, so yeah. I don't I'm totally opposite of that. I don't want to hear any of that.
JT, I got to be honest. I'm a little bored by how easy it is to beat the Cowboys now, and how easy it is to beat the Giants.
There it is.
It's like playing with your food at this point. Would you like a little challenge, something to make it more interesting?
Yeah, I mean that's what we have the Washington.
Don't take the bait, JT. I know you're an Eagle fan too.
No,
don't take the Perloff bait where he gets to troll everybody.
But no, honestly.
That takes me to my next point. I was like, I get triggered sometimes by Perloff because he argues like my ex-wife, right? Like yesterday, he was talking about the Shador being able to play in cold weather. And then next thing you know, he's talking about his size. And I'm like, I don't know what that has to do with cold weather. I mean, he's not a polar bear. I mean, it's just either you don't have to be big to be in the cold weather. I mean, cold weather doesn't have in size. It's not relative. But the whole argument turned to how big he was. And I was like, I've seen this before. And it's a great tactic because if you're not careful, you'll find yourself arguing about the size of people and how that affects cold weather, you know, and you're like, wait a minute, what were we talking about again?
Yeah, two things that have never been correlated before, right? Size and cold weather are not things that have really been correlated. No,
what? Come on, you and football?
No,
you want a big quarterback with big hands in cold weather, which is makes no sense why the Steelers took Kenny Pickett.
Now it's going to be the hand size, right? It's like, now it's like, okay, cold weather and hand sizes are a thing, and it's like, who's never heard of these things with Perloff?
Perloff,
he's so awesome at it.
No. First of all, I heard McShay on his podcast yesterday saying that there are real concerns about Shador's size and the weather. And then a million people were like, what about Colorado? Like you said yesterday.
Yeah, we went and literally looked up the temperatures in Colorado in late November and early December. And just spoiler alert, it's really freaking cold.
But I'm definitely not going against the grain to say that people worry about size and outdoor quarterbacks for cold weather. Drew Brees famously was the best indoor quarterback.
Right.
And everyone knows what Drew Brees did in the outside weather. So, like, that's not a me thing at all.
I think that maybe instead of saying the word size, I think you need to put durability, which is sometimes correlated to size,
strength,
but sometimes not. Or arm strength. Right, JT. But can we please just clip forever? Perloff argues like my ex-wife, because that is just awesome, JT. Thank you. I think it's more about, you're talking about durability. Yeah.
Well, I just think it's interesting that you guys are smarter than Todd McShay and Daniel Jeremiah, who both mentioned that the weather is an issue with Pittsburgh. It's interesting to me that...
So Daniel Jeremiah is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is, it's an obvious narrative. It's if the Steelers had Big Ben for two decades, like that kind of makes sense.
Right, but I could also say that the Cleveland Browns, the best quarterback they've had in two decades was Baker Mayfield, and no one says he's big. Right. So like I I'm seeing guys short and slight who keep going number one overall. And so if they were really that compromised, why are they not even just going in the first round? Why are they going one?
But I understand what you're saying, but like generally it is a thought that you would want a guy with big hands in cold weather, like to hold on to the ball and bad weather too. Did you see the headline?
Boomer Esiason would say the same thing down the hall.
Everybody would. Every draft analyst since the beginning of time says that that's a factor. I'm not saying it's the factor, but it's definitely something you think about. Did you see yesterday the headline where Mark Andrews said his gloves were wet in the AFC title game, and that's why he dropped the ball at the end? Cold weather and water and everything changes the way a quarterback plays. I look at Shador Sanders and say, man, he would kill it in New Orleans because he'd be indoor. It's a big deal. Quarterbacks like to play indoors, especially guys who are not huge. And that's the one thing on Shador Sanders. He's really effective in college, but he's not an overly big guy.
He's listed at 6'1", 216. I mean, Bryce Young got drafted one overall. A team traded up for him, and he is playing outdoors. I know it's warmer because it's the NFC South, but still, like you're going to have to, if you play this thing out, if eventually you actually become good and you're the Carolina Panthers, you're probably going on the road to Philadelphia to play a cold weather game. You might have to go to Seattle where it's raining. You might have to go to the New York Giants, the Washington Commanders. It's not warm in Washington, D.C. in January. Like my thing about Shador yesterday and our whole argument about whether or not he's like gets dinged or would be a liability in cold weather is I feel like if you go play at Colorado and you play well, you are no longer should have to answer that kind of question. If you played in the South and played in the warm weather your whole life. He's from Texas, Jackson State. If he had stayed at FSU, or if he'd gone to FSU, excuse me, or if he had gone to LSU, okay, maybe you're wondering about the cold weather. The dude went to Colorado, took the challenge. It's not warm there late in the season.
I think
question it's answered.
That's a great point, but yeah, I do think that you could also say, well, you know what? He's not huge. His arm strength is not going to cut through the wind late in the season. I don't know
okay,
how.
Okay, that's a different question, though. But, right?
Well, how is that a different question? That's what we're talking about.
No, but you're talking about can he play in the cold weather? Like, yeah. I didn't see a lot of fumbles.
I mean, how
I
many...
didn't see a lot of, you know, like these things that would be associated with cold weather and guys like you're talking about. You want a big guy with big hands. I don't remember Shador having trouble handling snaps, yeah, handling the ball, all the stuff you're worried about.
But it's a projection. I mean, how many, probably what, two or three below freezing games at Colorado? I still think there's, you know, you only saw him in two seasons at Colorado. It's a projection. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, their arms cut through the wind. Right. Kansas City has a lot of cold. I mean, that to me, like, I'm like, oh, you know, I kind of want a bigger quarterback with a big arm.
And there's a reality that we saw how much different it was for those quarterbacks playing in the college football playoff in terms of weather, right? Like
poor SMU.
Yeah. So like December, like November, Drew Locke, I mean, talking about Drew Aller, looked different than December Drew Aller playing in Beaver Stadium, right? Like the weather changes for a team like Colorado or even a Penn State. It's bad weather, but not what you experience during the playoffs of the NFL, which is kind of what we saw some of these quarterbacks struggling mightily during the college football playoff. Yeah. That is an adjustment, even for someone like Shador.
Right, but don't you make the adjustment? I mean, like Tom Brady started wearing a scuba suit underneath his uniform. You know, like you do, either you make the adjustment or you don't. When players say cold is a mindset, I completely agree with that.
College is done a lot earlier than NFL, so I think that's one difference. They're done pretty much by Thanksgiving. I know he had one, you pointed out, one late game. So I'm sure the weather was pretty nice. Usually it starts getting really cold in December. You see NFL quarterbacks start to struggle in the cold. Aren't you psyched that you have Josh Allen in Buffalo? You've always said, and you can't ignore Lamar Jackson in the cold weather. You can't ignore Tua. Do you remember when Tua had to play in that cold game? Now, I know he's small.
He's from Hawaii. I mean,
I do think you look at size and cold. I think that's a natural. I don't think that's something that, you know, it's definitely a factor. I would think Big Ben is the perfect quarterback for Pittsburgh to me. I totally get that.
Yeah, I guess I think it's really dependent on the person is kind of where I'm going with this, because there should have been no evidence that Jaden Daniels would have been awesome in the cold weather, and I didn't see it affecting him at all. You know, I think it's just a case-by-case thing.
I'd like to see his splits. I'd like to see his splits in cold weather versus warm weather. You know, because I'll tell you right now, he didn't do great against the Eagles in
the
NFC title game.
The Chiefs got smoked by your Eagles. Yeah, everybody
indoors.
Lost that. The Packers lost to the Eagles. Do you think the Packers have trouble with the cold weather?
I don't know. Jaden looked pretty comfortable in that dome in Detroit. I would like to see his splits.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Okay. Do you think Shador should answer questions about playing in the cold weather?
Well, apparently Shador has a lot of other questions as well.
We'll
this is one of the most interesting quarterback prospects I can remember. I'm such a wide variety of opinions.
Yeah, this one came out not great. We'll get you the latest on who had something very pointed to say about Shador Sanders, and it has nothing to do with football. We'll get to that next. M&P.
I get triggered sometimes by Perloff because he argues like my ex-wife.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. You know, it's so funny. Anytime we talk about the NFL draft, what does it always come back to? Every single time, Maggie.
Need?
Hand size.
Oh.
I mean, it's just a matter of, but basically that's the only measurement I want. I don't want to hear your 40. I don't want to hear your wingspan. Although wingspan is getting a lot of love.
Just for the lineman.
Yeah, for the tackle. So if a tackle is undersized, it makes it sound like he's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. He's got such little hands, he can't find the pass rusher.
How did Will Campbell exist at LSU with these little dino T-Rex hands?
Yeah, although, I mean,
listen.
I watched
him be awesome.
I think that's where the surprises start in this draft. It seems like 1, 2, 3 might be set. Cam Ward, 1 to the Titans. Travis Hunter, 2 to the Browns. Abdul Carter, 3 to the Giants. But then everyone has Will Campbell in their mock draft to the Patriots. Maybe things start to... When does it go off chalk here in this draft, Maggie? Answer me this. Because it seems like everybody has the same top four.
So Peter Schrager just put out his mock draft, and he's like, you know, only does one a year, and, you know, he's been remarkably... Yeah. Precise and successful in doing
pretty, yeah, he's among the best for sure.
Right. So I'm surprised. If you're asking me where I think the draft starts, To me, it's either five with Jacksonville, mm-hmm. if they actually are going to take Ash and Jeanty, which Peter Schrager thinks they will, mm-hmm. and that's kind of trending that way. You know, listen, I don't mind taking a running back high. That one feels, is that exactly what Jacksonville needs? Maybe it is. I don't know. Jeanty's he's a stud. So I think that's interesting. And I just don't see how the Saints pass on a quarterback, but that's exactly what Peter has them doing.
I mean, everybody.
Taking Mykal Williams from Georgia, the pass rusher.
There's multiple reports the Saints do not want a quarterback at nine.
Which is like odd to me because.
Well, I don't think these quarterbacks are really, you know, where the Saints are right now. You bring Shedeur Sanders to that team, you have no talent around him.
So if the Saints do not get a quarterback, I would watch for the full-out tank for next year. And then he does have Shedeur Sanders, though, falling to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right, so, which seems like a no-brainer if you're Pittsburgh at this point, right? I mean, I understand there's a lot of critiques of Shedeur Sanders now, but I love the one point that keeps coming up. They have nothing but sons of pros on that team. Cam Hayward, Joey Porter Jr.
Cam Jordan.
Yeah, they just have, and they have brothers
of pros. Oh, no, I'm sorry, you're talking about Steelers. I was thinking about the Saints for a second. I'm sorry.
They have brothers, T.J. Watt. So it seems like Mike Tomlin would be perfectly comfortable bringing Deion around. The match is made of heaven. Tomlin's not threatened by Deion, where Kellen Moore would likely have an issue with Deion Sanders being in the building. So I think that this is just globally, Pittsburgh and Shedeur seems like the most perfect fit of the draft to me, more so than the Giants at three, because three feels rich for Shedeur Sanders, but 21 is just fine. What's the risk? They don't have a second-round pick. Keep that in mind. So they can't get back in on the second-round quarterbacks. They traded it for DK Metcalf. Kind of feels like the universe is putting this together.
Yeah, here is Omar Khan, the GM from the Steelers, talking yesterday about how the Steelers need to add to that quarterback room. He knows it.
You know, we discussed in Palm Beach a couple weeks ago, you know, we go to camp with four quarterbacks. Right now we have two on the roster. And, you know, all options are on the table and how we acquire those last two. I assure you we'll have four when we get to La Trobe.
Okay, so he's telling you there's two that they need to fill. I don't think it'd be two in the draft. It's very rare that teams do that kind of thing, like what Washington did all those years ago with RG3 and Kirk Cousins. And I don't think they believe that Kirk was actually going to become what he became. But, I think that Shedeur makes a lot of sense. Now, what I said heading into the break, Tom Pelissero from NFL Network putting out a report yesterday that one, an NFL assistant head coach said about Shedeur Sanders, quote, the worst formal interview I've ever been in my life. He's so entitled. He takes unnecessary sacks. He never plays on time. He has horrible body language. He blames teammates. But the biggest thing is he's not that good. Tell us how you really feel. That's a sniper.
Yeah, I mean, the blaming teammate thing was my original concern about him, which is funny because Kiper said that's the one thing he doesn't do. I have no idea where it came from. Where he came out and said, who is the quarterback he was playing against? And he said, well, that guy didn't get touched the entire
game. Dylan Raiola.
Yeah, Dylan Raiola.
Can you forgive one moment? I mean, the guy's under fire for two seasons in a row. He says one thing, and it's like, oh, this is not a team-first guy. Like, come on. We've forgiven way bigger stuff with quarterbacks in the past.
For quarterbacks? I don't know. Quarterbacks, they have to be robots. It's all about the team. It's all my fault. That's like from day one, that can be the only message that comes on.
Yeah, and if a college kid slips up one time, I don't think that that means that he's some me first selfish, you know, jerk.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, you what do you have to scout on? You have to take guesses. You don't know what a guy is going to be like in your building, so you have to work with what you have. I mean, you never know. Maybe 5 years from now, we say, oh, Shedeur was a little me first. Maybe it's, who knows? Maybe Cam Ward's be first, but I think you have to go with what you have. Let me ask you this for the Steelers. Two quarterbacks. What if they think they're getting Rodgers and they wait to the third round and because it's cold there, take the biggest quarterback in the draft, which is either Tyler Shuck or Will Howard, both who are gigantic. Mm. Maybe they get a quarterback in the third round, do a mid-level guy and either Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers. If you're a Steeler fan, are you okay with that or do you need to come away with Shedeur Sanders right here?
It's asking a lot, actually. Quite frankly, of Mason Rudolph. I mean, then you're really putting him as the veteran guy who's going to show these guys the way. Maybe that's fine.
No, I'm saying in that scenario, one of the two quarterbacks you're adding is Rodgers or Cousins.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought you meant adding Shedeur and then also going with another rookie.
You can't ignore the fact that Rodgers is still out there and Kirk Cousins is still out there. So I don't think, I think when you say two quarterbacks, you said you're not going to draft two, so that means one of them's a veteran. So there's some veteran, maybe Carson Wentz, maybe some guy who has a, I don't know if Mariota has a team yet. Some, who knows? Somebody out there, bring in an older guy and a later round guy is an option. See, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what Steelers fans want here.
I think Steelers fans probably want, I think they want to roll the dice with Rudolph, and I think they want like a 5-win season and then get a quarterback next year.
There you go.
You're asking me what I think they really want. Chris Lopresti is here with the latest. What's up, CeeLo?
Yeah, happy NFL draft eve or morning of eve or whatever we're calling it. We're getting it close, and the NFL insiders getting the final mock drafts and draft columns out there this morning. You talked about Schrager's mock draft from the Diana Russini notebook column via The Athletic. An unnamed NFL head coach speaking to the lack of elite talent at the top of this draft was quoted as saying, there aren't a lot of Robert De Niro's at the top of the draft, which I thought was an interesting
talking about me.
I was actually trying to see which coach would say that.
That's what I was wondering as well. Yeah.
Who could I see saying that?
It's got to be someone on the older side, I would think, if you're De Niro.
I don't know. I mean, Brian Daboll is like that image of him in the pool smoking the cigar.
Okay.
I don't know why I equate that maybe with a De Niro line, but he's kind of loose.
McVay's out in L.A. as a...
Do you think McVay's actually watches movies, though? I think he's so hyper-focused.
Yeah, Peter Schrager had the story where he was hanging out with him, and they decided to watch Netflix all day.
Oh.
No, I don't think... I'm not sure McVay... McVay wanted to retire, remember? He's just... I think he kicks back and watches Goodfellas on TNT. Why not?
Yeah. I think it's Sean Payton.
Yeah, it definitely could be Sean Payton.
And he likes to talk.
That's a very good educated guy.
And he's just like... I think he would say something quippy.
Yeah.
Wait, give me the quote.
Like, I got a line for you. Got your pen out? I got your line.
Yeah.
No De Niro's in this draft.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of Robert De Niro's
back,
at the top of the draft.
Very satisfied with himself.
Like, you could have picked any current star in the NFL. Like, there aren't a lot of Patrick Mahomes's in this draft any top guy.
The worst draft in 25 years, by the way?
I think there's
more negatives on this draft than I ever remember.
Yeah, it sounds like there's like nice depth. Like I saw Daniel Jeremiah say that there's a lot of starting caliber guys.
Not a lot of stars.
Not like exactly.
Well, it's also sandwiched between an all-time quarterback draft last year, six QBs in the top 12, and what we think is going to be next year.
Or 2 years, yeah.
Talked about this in hour number one.
Definitely not Dan Campbell. He definitely didn't say this. I just don't see Dan Campbell as being like... Well, not a De Niro draft.
Yeah, no, he's all football.
I don't think he's watching, De Niro's greatest.
Even
Dan
if he
Campbell.
Never see it coming.
Do you think Dan Campbell's in the tape room? No way. Dan Campbell's smoking a cigar, drinking a beer, and hanging out in the backyard. He's not watching tape.
No, Dan Campbell's got
he doesn't even have a tape machine at home.
A gigantic lip full of dip.
Yeah.
Both sides. Oh, yeah. And just grinding tape.
Dan Campbell doesn't even know where the tape machine is.
Poll question. Dan Campbell, grinding tape, watching De Niro films.
Dan Campbell last year had Ben Johnson on offense and Aaron Glenn on defense. Trust me, he was not watching tape.
Well, he doesn't have those guys anymore.
He walks around and says, let's go. He goes around and hits people in the stomach and says, let's go.
He's watching De Niro movies on film.
He's got two screens up.
Talked about hour number one. The Cowboys perhaps looking to use their draft assets, 10 selections across the 7 rounds as it stands now, to make some moves, with Jerry Jones saying yesterday during Dallas's pre-draft press conference that the Cowboys are working on, quote, pretty substantive trades regarding players, although no surprise he offered no specifics other than saying they're taking calls with teams around the league. NBA playoffs.
Luka.
And the Lakers bouncing back in game 2 against the Timberwolves. Can't forget about the old guy too, though.
Here's Ant-Man. LeBron stole it. LeBron down the middle. LeBron all the way to the rim and in. Huge play by LeBron. 92-81 Lakers.
Lakers
hey, LeBron,
radio.
Pull for your groin.
As they pulled away down the stretch to beat Minnesota 94-85. LeBron had 21 points and 11 rebounds.
See, I'm looking at this a long
That's
series.
The wrong
Luka.
There we go. I'm setting on my Luka clip and I screwed it up. He had 31 points, 12 boards, 9 assists to get the Lakers even before the series shifts to Minnesota on Friday night. The Bucks got Damian Lillard back from the blood clot issue that kept him out for over a month, but they still fell to the Pacers in Indiana 123-115. You heard from him there in a little preview as I hit the wrong button. Doc Rivers team down 0-2 heading off to Milwaukee.
See, I look at it as a long series. We haven't played a home game. Yeah, so we have to go home and take care of business. And then we can talk.
He's not really sure. Yeah.
Spin doctor's out.
Yes, and I'll. This goes perfectly with that because he's not really sure how or why they're going to turn it around, but apparently they will.
We'll just see. You know, we have time. We have 48 hours. I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing right now because I don't know. You know, but we'll figure it out. I'm very confident about this series. Very
confident.
Candid moment there, actually, from the spin doctor.
I'm not sure.
Well, give it a shot. Give it our best.
Giannis.
Very confident, though.
You guys have any ideas?
Yeah.
Don't worry. Next year, he'll be coaching the Knicks. He always finds a way to level up somehow.
God, wait, no. Next year, he'll be coaching who?
The Knicks.
I was actually thinking when the day Mike Malone stepped down, I was here to try and get in Denver before the season ended.
On the other side, you got Tyrese Halliburton, who finished with 21 points and 12 assists for Indiana. He was mixing it up with Lillard along the way.
We don't have to sit here and act like, you know, it's any secret. We don't like them. They don't like us. And that's just what it is. And they live for this. We live for this. So, you know, I could care less. I'm out here just trying to help my team win games. So there's got to be a little bit back and forth. There's got to be a little back and forth. But I'm here to win.
Consistency.
Yeah, game three of that series will be Friday night. Similar story in Oklahoma City as the one seed Thunder handled the Grizzlies again. This time only a 19-point margin of victory rather than the 51 from the series opener. But still decisive, 118-99 behind 27 points from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Looking ahead to tonight, Jason Tatum doubtful for the Celtics in their game two against the Magic. He's got a bone bruise in his right wrist, which is considered a pain tolerance injury. Quickly, hockey-wise, the defending Stanley Cup champion Panthers underway with their series against the rival Lightning. They got Matthew Tkachuk back from the lower body injury that kept him out since the Four Nations final more than 2 months ago. He had a couple power play goals plus an assist as Florida hammered Tampa Bay 6-2 in that series opener. Max Domi, OT winner to send the Maple Leafs past the Senators 3-2. Toronto with a 2-0 lead in that series. Same for the Carolina Hurricanes. They beat the Devils 3-1. And the Minnesota Wild get a split in Vegas. They beat the Golden Knights 5-2.
I can't believe how I feel stupid. The Robert De Niro line of one NFL head coach unnamed told Diana Rossini there's not a lot of Robert De Niros in this draft. Guys, Nick Sirianni literally has the Italian flag on the side of his visor or whatever. He's got Big Dom there. What do you think they're doing together?
Yeah.
I think we've lost you for the show trying to figure out what coaches
is. I'm just saying they're driving around Philadelphia probably doing Goodfellas lines to each other.
Yeah,
trying to find the best, you know, chicken parm. Like, I'm not trying to lead into the stereotypes here. I'm just saying, if anyone's loving De Niro, it's the Sirianni Dom, Big Dom tandem.
And loving life, right? Just off the Super Bowl. They're not picking high in the draft. So
and everyone's safe.
Yeah.
Not a lot of De Niro's in this draft, but we're still going to kick everybody's ass. This is a Sirianni line.
I like the line of thinking.
This is a Diana report, though.
Yes.
It's in her notebook. It's Peyton.
I think she's got a lot of connections.
None like Sean Peyton.
We'll see.
And Sean Payton, right?
He definitely said this. And he definitely felt very good about the line.
Yeah, I don't. For some reason, it doesn't feel like Sirianni could put together a line that clever to me.
Totally agree.
Yep, I've been saying that for years.
She did say that the feeling echoed by that coach was backed up by multiple scouting departments across the league. So everyone seems to kind of be in lockstep on this.
This is a parade of stiffs in Green Bay. Everything we're getting done. That's why there are no trades, because everyone's like, get me out of here.
Yeah, did you see the pictures of the green room?
I'm going to do that next. The logistics of this draft have me fascinated. I've turned into Perloff now. I'm just a dad talking about directions and how people are getting in and out of the facility.
I have a strong thought as well in that green room. I can't wait to get into this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about the draft being in Green Bay. Also, we will tell you what Devontae Adams had to say about his former teammate Aaron Rodgers next.
I'd like to see his splits.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today
with Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You said, I think it was 2 years ago when you guys lost the Eagles, you said you buried the tape. Did you actually bury the tape?
Yeah, AG took it out there.
Okay, good. Thank
he took
God.
It out there, and every one of the players had an opportunity to just throw a little dirt on it.
Yeah.
And yeah, okay. It was literally, it's buried out there somewhere.
Tough morning. We got you. It's Maggie and Perloff.
and Dan Campbell on Part of My Take. Yeah, question was, some unknown NFL coach gave a great quote to Diana Rossini, the Athletic, saying there's no Robert De Niro's in this draft. And I said, the last coach who said that was Dan Campbell.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You think he actually is out there watching more feature films than actual film?
No, I mean, listen, I've heard this narrative that the Lions are definitely falling off with without Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. This happened to the Eagles. You have a really good season. You lose both your coordinators. I just don't think Dan Campbell's a strategy guy. So why does he have to watch tape? He's not game planning. He's not play calling.
Oh, my gosh. He's one of the guys who we criticize more for game plan than anything about going for it on fourth downs and analytics.
That's not a game plan. That's the opposite of game plan. That's right. That's emotional decisions reached out the fourth quarter. So I don't think he's ever play called, but we'll have to check that. Did he play call in Miami or any other spot?
No, but
he's known as a vibes guy.
No, I think it's the opposite. I think that he is a fourth down, this is the philosophy. And actually, if you actually did it with emotion, I think he'd probably be a lot more conservative at certain times, and he's not. I think he's kind of, to me, Dan Campbell, like the perfect combination of like meathead jock that you kind of need for a locker room, and then like nerdy analytic dude who is committed to, you know, being aggressive on fourth downs and kind of doing this modern NFL thing.
Yeah, I just don't think that he was the guy who's saying, how do we attack the Bears secondary? I think that was Ben Johnson. And yeah. I think we're gonna see that next year.
We'll dive more into that in a minute. I want to get to Joe, though. He's in San Francisco. We read you, and I'll just read it quickly again. So Tom Pelissero from NFL Network had a quote from one NFL assistant coach, said, Shedeur Sanders, the worst formal interview I've ever been in my life. He's so entitled. He takes unnecessary sacks. He never plays on time. He has horrible body language. He blames teammates. But the biggest thing is he's not that good. I mean, that's taking somebody out in every possible way you can. Joe, you heard this and thought what?
I mean, I called you guys a couple of weeks ago. I told you they was low-jacking him because they're trying to get him for a cheap price. But the bottom line is, you know, you listen to all that stuff when they saying that his hands are too small and he can't play in cold weather and all that stuff. But the football will be the same size, whether he's in college or NFL. So You know, the bottom line is the scouts today, they're looking for a reason not to sign him. You know, when they should be looking for a reason to sign him, but that's the problem right now. You know, like, they always looking for these reasons not to sign a guy, but for him, they're just trying to lowjack him. So basically, if they can get him in the second round, give him less money, if he don't make it, they're going to say, yeah, we was right. But if he makes it, they're going to go, oh, we a genius.
So wait, Joe, are you saying that there's a team putting this out there that really likes Shador and therefore is putting on negative words so he'll fall to them?
Yep. So watch, he going to play somewhere. I can guarantee you that. But it may not be for the money that, you know, that he probably should get. But, you know, he's going to play somewhere. Because the bottom line is, if he couldn't play, they wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, this is laying it on pretty thick. You know, if that is indeed the case, and Joe, thanks for the phone call. If you're really trying to sort of just go negative here on Shador, I mean, to talk about this is like hitting it so on the nose. It's like hitting it over your head.
Some of them are obvious and have been, he definitely does not play on time. He holds on the ball forever trying to make a play. What was the other one?
Unnecessary sacks.
Yeah, I mean, we all saw that in Colorado. But he was in a situation where he had a bad offensive line and they needed him to make a million plays. So you have an excuse for that. But we did actually. That critique I totally get.
Yeah, the one thing about trying to do this like to make less money. So I can understand when we had the old system, which was like Sam Bradford and Mario Williams, and these guys would hold out before they ever played an NFL snap, and they'd get $50 million guaranteed, and we knew nothing. Yeah. Now it's like this wage scale. You know what you're paying, you know? So if he can play and say he's really good, he's going to get a big contract because he is a quarterback. If he can't, whether it's like the top 5 pick, top 15, top 20, I don't know if the money is so different because it's all slotted. You know, there's not wiggle room there.
Yeah, but I think actually what Joe meant to say was that a team wants him to fall to them.
That's fine, but I don't know if it's about the money necessarily, because you guys can't negotiate really anymore before they report to camp.
What, your big conspiracy theory? Do you think it's the Steelers putting this stuff out?
I don't think the Steelers at 21, from what everything I'm reading, and again, I want to see it before I believe it with the Saints not taking him, but from everything you're reading is that he's going to be sitting there at 21.
Well,
I don't know why
I mean.
the Steelers would have to put out anything negative.
No, I'm saying we've gotten to this point because people have been ripping Shador behind the scenes. Right. Maybe it was a brilliant move by Omar Khan saying, hey, Tom Pelissero, this guy's a jerk in meetings. Worst meeting ever. Although there were a lot of reports that their meeting went well with the Steelers, so that's kind of hard to believe. But I do like this theory. We've talked about this a million times. When you start hearing negative character stuff, you got to watch out that teams are putting it out there as false flags. I mean, that could easily be the case.
Well, the ultimate, and the Steelers were the ones who got burned by this, and I got to take you back to the 80s, was Dan Marino. And there was he never failed a drug test when he was at Pitt. And they put out this thing that he's, you know, doing drugs and he's partying and stuff like that. And Pittsburgh passed on him. And Miami Dolphins were the big winners. And it turned out it was never true.
Wait, where did you hear it turned out it was never true?
He never failed a drug test when he was at Pitt. And it's Dan.
He might not have failed it, but I've met Dan Marino. He was definitely having a good time. I'm not saying hard drugs, but he was partying at Pitt.